Lord tonight. I apologize for being a little bit late tonight, run into some things, but it's good to be in God's house and feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'll make mention of this again on Sunday, but on behalf of myself and my entire family, we're just overwhelmed with the outpouring of love and gifts and the wonderful dinner you gave us on Sunday. We can't thank you enough. It was just wonderful. As believe me, it touched us very, very deeply. And you are always going to be our family. No distance is ever going to change that. But just from, I'll say more about it on Sunday morning, but just for those of you that are here tonight, I didn't want to let any time pass without letting you know how much all the things you did on Sunday meant to us. Thank you so very, very much. Well, tonight I didn't really, just with this being the last Wednesday night, I may be with you for quite some time, or not quite some time, but I don't know what the future may hold or what direction the Lord may be leading you all as a body, but I didn't want to start anything too heavy. But as I prayed and sought the Lord about what he would have me spend just a few moments teaching on tonight, he took me here to Colossians chapter 2. And if you want to turn there in your Bibles, Colossians chapter 2. And as you're turning there, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11 is where we're going to be tonight. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus, and always we're thankful for the privilege of opening the Word of God. Lord, tonight we just ask for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to rest upon us as we minister the Word of God. Lord, we pray that, Lord, it's always possible. It's always possible. For you to take us deeper into Christ and deeper into the message of the cross. And Lord, tonight, though what we'll be ministering on we've heard before, Lord, your Holy Spirit can make it new and alive to us in very special ways. And Lord, that's just what I ask you to do tonight in all of our hearts. And we'll not fail to give you, Lord Jesus Christ, all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The Apostle Paul here in Colossians chapter 2 is, of course, very much concerned about the church at Colossus because he had established this church, and as so often happened in all of his epistles, Judaizers had come into the church and, of course, were attempting to pull them away from what they were established on, the foundational truth of Christ and him crucified. So that's just want to give you that short background as we begin reading in chapter 2 and verse 1. He said, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ." And verse 3, he sums these first two verses up, very important scripture. In whom? Christ, the Father, and the Holy Spirit is who he's referring to. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? And by that, he is telling us that it takes the revelatory power of the Holy Spirit to give us understanding concerning even the message of the cross. For us to be saved, even, we need the revelatory power of the Holy Spirit to show us our need for Christ. And after we are born into the kingdom of God, we need still the ongoing revelatory power of the Holy Spirit to continue to show us how much more we need Christ and to place our faith in what he did on the cross on a daily and ongoing basis. And that process, which theologians call sanctification, as we know, it will go on until the believer is called home to glory. And really, even after that, in heaven, that's the beauty of what Christ has done for us on the cross. That's the glorious magnitude of it. That 1,000 years from tonight, we will still be learning and being given greater revelation about what he did for us on the cross. My Lord, that sends chill bumps all over me. That's how wonderful what he did for us was and is. And that revelatory process will be going on throughout the eons of time. And think about it, as we live and dwell with the Lord Jesus Christ himself throughout all of eternity. My, that just, my mind just wants to explode literally when I think of that. But that's the beauty, and that's what Paul is telling them here. He said in verse 1, he is in great conflict for them. And he's speaking of spiritual conflict. He's praying for these churches because he is concerned. And I shared with you a little bit on Sunday. I know a little bit of what it's like. And let me preface what I'm about to say with this. I have no fear or no worry at all about this body ever departing the message of the cross. I move on to where the Lord has for us to go. I want to share with you that I am not in the least bit worried about this church moving away from the message of the cross. I've watched your lives, as Paul told, I think it was the Philippian church, you are my living epistle. In other words, as they received the gospel that he preached, Christ and him crucified, their lives preached in turn that message. They lived that message. And I have seen that in the congregants of this church. And I have no fear of this church moving away from the message of the cross. I know your leadership believes in it. I know those of you, everyone here tonight, believe firmly in Christ and him crucified. But I got to share with you, as I left, departed Mount Vernon to come here to Springfield, I was concerned. I was concerned, and I prayed for that church. And God, you know, one thing about God, he's never limited in how he can do things. Praise the Lord. He's never limited. As I was concerned, and I saw very shortly after I left, denominationalism had crept in. They gave the church a pastor who I believe wasn't even called to preach, and that's the Church of God for you. And of course, he started taking the church away. But then after he left, my former associate has led the church even farther away. And as I saw that happening, it was breaking my heart. Because those of you that are here tonight, you know what it costs to establish this message. It never comes easy. If anybody tells you that, I would be dubious of them, to be honest with you. If they said they walked into a new place and just boom, you know, they established the message of the cross with no opposition. Because Satan is going to fight the message of the cross with all the fury that hell can muster. He's going to use religious Christians. He's going to use backslidden Christians. He's going to use the world and everything at his disposal to try to hinder and stop this message when someone's trying to establish it. And that's the conflict that Paul was speaking of here. And I need to add that after that message is established, Satan's not going to quit. Our little body, you know, has been fought tooth and nail by the enemy. Why would we attract like a lightning rod so much fighting from the enemy? It's because of what we believe and teach is the truth of this gospel. Hallelujah. But through it all, God will give strength. God will give the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And he will enable, supernaturally, his message to go forth. But it will never be so without conflict establishing it, and even conflict after it's established. Because after it gets established, the first thing the enemy is going to come in and try and do is try to pull that church or those people away from that message. And that's the conflict that Paul was speaking of here. I've seen that happen. But to revert back to where I'm going with this, I shared a little bit with you on Sunday. As I was praying for that church and those body of people whom I love and still love, know a lot of them, God, out of the blue, one day I got a call from my brother-in-law, Roger. Now, he's preached here, and I think you all bear witness. It's obvious God's called him to preach and be a pastor. But when he first called me and told me that, I thought, Roger? Because Roger's been a tremendous musician. I've shared that. He is a tremendous musician. I thought, he said, Greg, the Lord told me last week, feed my sheep. He said, we've got nothing back here. He said, you know, the church is dying spiritually. He said, they're getting into foolishness. And he said, I believe the Lord wants me to start a church. And I went and helped him. I mean, I didn't share this with a lot of you guys, but I had one of those Sam Ash, Chris, you probably know who they are. big music company over in Columbus. They needed sound equipment and everything. I went and, you know, put it on my Sam Ash card and some musical stuff they needed and everything, and did all I could to help Roger get started. And I was praying for him. And I'll never forget, he won't mind me sharing this. The first time I was down to minister in his new church, and they were meeting in just a little old place then, a little old storefront type place. And some of you were there, I believe. Carla, I think you all were. And I think you were too, weren't you? You weren't? Okay. But in any event, wasn't much to it at all. Old Roger's up there, and he, you got to understand, Roger, he's been a musician. But as I listened to him that night, the first thing I look for in an individual when they tell me they're called to preach, I don't care if they can't put one word after another. If God, and I told Roger this not long ago, and I want to say it to you all, God doesn't always call the equipped. I want you to listen to what I'm saying. God rarely calls the equipped. God always equips the called. The first thing I look for is that anointing. And if that's there, you can rest assured that God will grow that person. I don't care how weak and stumbling they might be initially, they'll grow that person. And I'm dragging this out. But I was wondering, as I was in prayer for the church, Lord, please help them. You know what it cost to establish that message there. And I hate to see it lost. And here God raised up Roger. Their church now is running 80 on Sunday morning regularly. Sometimes they're hitting over 100. And their music program is doing wonderful as Roger leads that, and as God's sending people to help him out. And the Lord reminded me, do not limit me to four walls. I'm bigger than any situation. And God established and has kept that message there. And I believe that's what he's going to do here. But that's the kind of conflict, as I said, out of part here, Paul was in. I don't feel that conflict for this body. I just know you all are going to pick up and go on with this message. I've seen it in you. It thrills my heart to see that the Lord in some small way has used me to establish this foundational message of Christ and him crucified here in Springfield, and to depart knowing, with no doubt or no reservation, that you all are going to pick up and go right on with it. I can't tell you what that does to my heart. It thrills me to see that in your lives. It makes me feel like I shared with you on Sunday, like, Lord, I did what you sent me to do. And that's what he told me he sent me here to do, was to establish the foundation of this message. But just because it's been established now does not mean that Satan is going to lay down and quit fighting. And at this transitory time, you all need to come together as a body and focus on Christ and him crucified as never before. Because Satan would come in at this transitory time when things are a little bit uncertain. He would try to come in and maybe turn you all on one another, get you mad at one another over little petty things. Don't do that. Don't do that. You have, let's go on to verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. That's the point that I've been trying to get to, is that Paul knew this church at Colossae, even though Satan was attacking it, he was coming against it to try and move them away from this message. Paul knew that they were not going to move, and that's what I know this body's not going to do. But I also know this, Satan is not going to lay down and die. He's going to attack. And you guys, I charge you before the Lord, as never before, make the cross your renewed focal point and know what you're here to do. You have been given and charged with carrying on the most glorious message this world has ever heard, the message of Christ and him crucified. And I know you're going to be steadfast in that like this church at Colossae was. I feel this so strongly in the Holy Spirit tonight. Satan is not going to try to much move you away from the cross of Christ as he's going to try to bring in pettiness to get you all upset with one another. The main thing, keep the main thing, Christ and him crucified. and let the Holy Spirit flow like a river, which He will do through that glorious message. And let him reunite this body around Christ and what He's done at the cross. As you steadfastly make up your mind, we will not be moved from this message. And don't get into fights and disagreements over colors of carpet and microphones and what type you're going to get and things like that. Don't worry about that. Those things will take care of themselves. Let go of that stuff. Know that you have been established on the greatest message the world will ever hear, the message of Christ and Him crucified. Get behind Brother Chris in this interim as he ministers, and whoever, if the Lord raises him up to take this church on, or if the Lord chooses to send somebody else to be your pastor, keep the cross your focal point. Don't allow petty differences and inconsistencies to come in. And it's like I heard one person say one time, I thought it was rather funny. He said, Satan will come up and slap Sister Bucketmouth and tell her that Brother Big Bucks was the one that did it, because he can't move you from this message. He knows that, I believe. I know he knows that. You're going to be steadfast in it. So he's going to try something else to stop this. Unite around Christ and Him crucified. Remain steadfast in your faith in Christ. And he said, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. In other words, keep on keeping on with what established you and brought you to this point. As a church and as individuals, your faith in Christ and in Him crucified. Look at verse 7. Rooted, that means established, and build up. And in the Greek, that build up is an active tense. It means you're being built up. You've been rooted in Him and what He did at the cross. But you're also, as the Holy Spirit is moving on you, He's building you in that message. Let this process go on. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. There'll never be a time that this church, when it comes together, will not have something to shout and praise God about. Because you have been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You have been redeemed by His sacrificial atoning work on the cross of Calvary. You have been adopted into the family of God through the operation of the mighty Holy Ghost. And you have a glorious future in Him. Focus on these things. Hallelujah. Glory to God, I feel the Holy Ghost in that tonight. Excuse me while I preach, but I'll say it again as I said it on Sunday. The greatest days of this church are in front of it, not behind it. Hallelujah. God, you feel the Holy Ghost right now, don't you? Listen to what the Spirit's saying. He's telling you go on. He's telling you you have the message. He's telling you you have been raised up in it. You have been established in it. Focus on that and let the Holy Ghost build this body to a level that we never could think possible. He will build His church as you remain rooted and established in Him. Glory to God. I shared with you on Sunday, I wished I'd been the one to do it. But God has not selected me for that, and I'm okay with that now. I know it. But you, He has. Be strong and do it. Like what David told his son Solomon. Be strong and do it. Solomon, you're the one God's chosen to take this on and build my temple and build my house. Be strong and do it. Hallelujah. And then he gives a warning in verse 8 of how he says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And Satan is so subtle when he comes into a body or a believer to try and move them from Christ. He's good at what he does. And if you keep your focus on Christ and Him crucified, you will be able to see right through what He's doing. I mean, I just feel, and I hadn't planned to say all this tonight, I really hadn't, but I just feel now to warn you. Don't get on one another. Don't get on one another. Keep your eyes upon Christ and Him crucified, the author and finisher of your faith. And let the Holy Spirit, watch Him do mighty things. Already here He's raising up people to do different things in this body. And that confirms to me that that I'm doing the right thing. Because that's God moving. He's raising people up. Hallelujah. And I believe the greatest days of this church are ahead of it, not behind it. Praise the Lord. But don't let pettiness spoil the great victory you have in Christ Jesus. And going on to verse 9, he says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." That's a glorious scripture. That means that in Christ Jesus, the fullness of God's character and power rests. Now that's wonderful. You say, that's good, Pastor. We know that. But let's take that one step further. Don't ever forget, you're in him and he's in you. And that fullness of the Godhead bodily, this will make us all shout and jump pews. That fullness of the Godhead bodily is indwelling you as a believer. Think of that. Hallelujah. It's in you because you're in him. You're in him and he's in you. You are spiritually interpenetrated with the Son of God in whom all the fullness of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost rests. He's in you and you're in him. Hallelujah. Focus on that. Verse 10, and this is beautiful. "And ye are complete in him." Wow. Everything you're ever going to have need of, Christ has already addressed it. He's already won the victory, and he's already provided it. Hallelujah. You're already complete in him. You have need of nothing else outside of Christ and him crucified, and the fullness of the Godhead bodily indwelling you as a believer. "And ye are complete in him," which is Christ Jesus, of course, "which is the head of all principality and power." As I close this little lesson tonight, I know the Lord told me to say this. He's not going to fail you. He's not going to fail you. He's not going to fail you as a body, and he's not going to fail you as an individual. And we mentioned this on Sunday morning, and it's so true. When God is placing us into a situation where we have to exercise our faith, it's never going to be comfortable. I want that to sink in. I'm applying this to my own life as well as something I feel the Spirit leading me to touch on tonight. Faith, when God's calling you to faith, to believe him for something, it's never going to be comfortable. It's always going to be, the situation is going to seem daunting, above our head, impossible. Lord, we can't do it. How are we going to do it? By faith. By faith in Jesus, in whom rests all principality and power. He's not going to fail you. I want to stress that tonight. I feel the Holy Spirit prodding me to put that across. He's not going to fail you, and either as an individual or as a body. If you just keep believing him. And it's going to feel uncomfortable when he's calling you to believe him. Because the situation is always going to look like, well, what are we going to do? How's this ever going to work out? He's the head of all principality and power. And as long as he's with you, if God be for us, who or what can be against us? Amen? We are already made more than conquerors in Christ Jesus through faith in what he did for us on the cross. He's the head of all principality and power. He will not fail you. In verses 11 and 12, we're going to close on tonight. "In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off of the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." When you were saved, the Holy Spirit went in and totally cleansed you in the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. And wiped away all sin. As it says a little bit later in the same book of Colossians, he blotted out the handwriting of the ordinances that were against us all. In other words, the law. And I love how that says that, blotted out. It carries the word picture in the Greek text of, say you were writing with those old type ink blotters, that there was writing on a piece of paper, and somebody knocked the ink blotter over onto that piece of paper, and it run to where the entirety of the writing was covered. We're covered in the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. The ink blotter of his precious blood has been knocked over onto the law. Hallelujah. And when he sees us, we're covered completely by the blood. He sees no more sins. That's what's being referred to as the spiritual circumcision. God has cut out and cut away, hallelujah, the weight and worry of having to keep the law in any capacity. Praise God. Buried with him in baptism, wherein ye are also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised you from the dead. And I'm going to go on and read verses 13 and 14, and we'll close on that. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, glory to God, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Praise God. Hallelujah. Isn't that beautiful? Give him a hand of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So be strong and do it. Don't let pettiness creep in. That's the only worry I have. And that's a bad way to say it. I believe that, not a worry, but I believe the Holy Spirit is sending this out as a warning to this body. Do not let pettiness creep in. I believe the Lord has given us foreknowledge of how Satan is going to try and attack you and not move you away from the message, but maybe try to move you away from one another. Don't let that happen. Keep your eyes upon Christ. Know what you're here to do. Know what he has charged and anointed you to do. You are a part of having established and now carrying on this great message of Christ and him crucified. Don't lose focus of what he's called you to do. Let unimportant petty things just fall by the wayside. Go on and do what he's calling you to do. Because he's going to equip you, he's going to anoint you, and he's going to help you. And he will grow this body. Praise God. Give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, I know I've kind of...